Hello friends, this module we are talking about manpower planning chapter 3 of the book. This chapter 3 follows after chapter 2, which is covering job analysis. Manpower planning essentially involves how many people are required, when, at what level, for what job functions, at what packages. All this is a part of manpower planning. Now, just because I require people, it doesn't mean people are available. So what happens is, I have got to understand that a manpower planning has got two important factors. The supply of manpower, which is outside my company, some of them inside my company as well, and the demand. So, it's a typical economic equation of supply and demand. But merely studying these two is not enough. In a manpower planning, I need to factor a third variable which is not mentioned in any text. It's a behavioral variable of people whom you want to hire. There are people available, you're interviewing them, and after interviewing them, there is no guarantee that they'll join you. So there is this element of human endeavor, human will of joining or not joining. We have come across innumerable examples. Some of you listening to me maybe must have done it. You go to a company for an interview. After the interview, you don't join. You take the instrument, you take it as a negotiating instrument to go and deal, to go and negotiate for a higher package with another competing company. So the willingness of a person to join a company or not cannot be factored in manpower planning. It's an estimate, and we come across ballpark figures. But if that is the case, why do we need to do it? There are reasons. Manpower planning ensures how much will be my wage bill increasing by. What will be my wage bill for the next so many years? What sort of factoring I need to do in terms of HR budgeting? Budgeting for human resources, not human resources department. Okay. Now, these factors are so important, and hence manpower planning has assumed a very important role in today's global working. Large companies with large manpower base, 100,000 manpower, an IT company for example, manpower planning becomes a very specialized crucial function. In the HR department itself, we have people, not one or two, but a separate manpower planning department itself, who are only focusing on manpower planning. And we are talking about an IT company of the order of say 100,000 employees globally working, in which the manpower requirements on an average could be something like 10,000 employees, 8,000 employees per year they may be hiring at different levels. If you work out the arithmetic, the wage bill which needs to be kept ready and several other costs that come in is quite huge, phenomenal. So it becomes a strategic decision. Hence, manpower planning is very, very crucial, and we need to understand the various complexities that are governing manpower planning. So let's get on with the slides. What are the objectives of the session? Defining what is manpower planning, various factors affecting manpower planning, the process or the steps in the manpower planning activity, importance of manpower planning, and the various barriers or the roadblocks that we face while doing the manpower planning. The structure of the flow would be in the following manner as is given in the slide. Almost repetition of the earlier slide. We'll be studying manpower planning, factors affecting it, the process, the importance, the barriers, and some related reading we'll be talking about, and finally the summary. What is it? It's a process of forecasting, underlying forecasting, an organization's future demand for and supply of the right type of people in the right number. It's a demand supply forecasting of manpower. HR activities like recruitment and selection, training and development, compensation, appraisal and labor relations are derived from the manpower planning. So once I do the manpower planning, I know the numbers, and from there these things derive. Manpower planning is important for organization as well as employees who wish to fully utilize their capabilities and potential. When I do a manpower planning, I know exactly what numbers is coming where, and I also know the timeline in which they have to come. I not only know the timeline in which they have to come, I also have to, I'll be able to create my programs for the recruitment selection process as well. And for training development, for induction orientation, so many other processes cannot happen unless and until this is taken care of. So this becomes a precursor for the rest of the processes that follow after this. What does it involve? Manpower planning is involving maximum use of human resources, lesser labor turnover. I must ensure that people don't join and leave pretty fast. Attrition, labor turnover, lower absenteeism. These are the things I need to address when I'm doing a manpower planning. Improved productivity, achievement of objectives, higher production, smooth and uninterrupted workflow, increased job satisfaction. So is this related with the job profiles and the job specification we talked about in the chapter number 2? The answer is yes. So when those are ready, my manpower planning would be in a position to take off. What are the factors affecting manpower planning? Type and strategy of an organization, the organization culture, the way it thinks, the way it gives importance to manpower itself. Growth cycle of an organization. Is the organization in a growth phase or is it in a decline phase? Is it going through seasonal problems, issues? So all that decides. We come across IT companies, for example, they will suddenly enhance or bring down their manpower requirements. When the going is not good in 2008 and all those times when these things were happening, what happened? The manpower requirements were brought down in these organizations. And again, when the boom starts, they'll again go for more hiring. Okay. Now, this being the case, we have to be very perceptive, very sensitive to understand that business growth cycle of an organization is also to be taken into account. Growth cycle of an organization and also the labor market, that's repeated here. Growth labor market. Labor market means the availability of workforce in the out there in the society. Do we really have enough of software engineers of the caliber to which we want? Do we have the amount of people whom we want for an automobile unit? Now that's a labor market. And the labor market keeps fluctuating depending upon the economy and the supply demand of the industry. That I have explained this. Now here is a little bit of detailed explanation. We have taken two examples, two companies which we know, Godrej and Vodafone. The type of an organization is important. It determines number of processes and thus number and type of staff required. For example, a manufacturing unit like Godrej has to plan manpower for its manufacturing as well as service process. They have taken two examples. Godrej is into manufacturing as well as in services. So when they do the manpower planning, they have to take into account for both the requirements. Whereas Vodafone is a typical cellular major, is a service provider and plans only for service processes. So Godrej will plan for both skilled and unskilled workers, but Vodafone will plan only for skilled workers. I wouldn't like to totally agree with this. The fact is we need skills in both the areas, whether it's manufacturing or service, both the places we need skills. I suppose the skills we are talking about in the slide is about the skills of learning to interact with human beings. Because many authors feel that human skills are a person who's skilled in human relations is far more skilled than a person who's skilled with only machines. But both are having equal amount of ability base that you need to have. Okay. So, the second factor, growth cycle of an organization, I've explained very briefly. Here it is. The initial stages of an organization, the focus is on the product and the service development. When an organization grows, we are more focused on the business. We are more focused on ensuring that we reach out to the market. The purpose for which the product, the company has been created, we need to serve the purpose. If I am a startup, I want to produce some product, then I ensure my entire focus is there. So during that time, my entire focus is on the product and service department. Later on, what happens, the growth stage, manpower planning assumes an important and internal development of people that needs HR support. As my business grows, I am hiring more people. So when I hire more people, what happens? I got to hire the right person because my business is getting more complex. When a business is simple, there is no issues. But when it grows and when more people are coming, I need to hire the right person for the right job. Why? Because customers are demanding more from me. If I hire a wrong person, let us say I hire a person who doesn't have marketing skills. I need somebody to do my marketing because my business is growing. I hire the wrong person. When I hire the wrong person, he goes and screws up the whole marketing, whatever pitch he does, and my whole my company can go to a toss. So I need to hire a person, the right person for the right job. So I need to get into manpower planning. Very important. If the organization is already matured, after 10-15 years, it's become matured, there is less flexibility and scope for innovation in manpower planning. In decline stage, manpower planning relates to layoffs and retrenchment. So manpower planning, in short, goes through all the three phases of an organization. When it is growing, when it is running and doing well, and also when it is declining or wanting to retire as an organization. They want to close down. So wherever you are doing manpower planning, popularly people believe that manpower planning is required only for a running organization. It's not so. Even when an organization is going through a slowdown, we need to plan our manpower. You must have come across organizations which give VRS, voluntary retirement schemes they have. So, see, these organizations also, very strangely to some people, they hire people. While I am asking people to go, I am hiring new people also. So, some trade unions and all, they feel what the hell is going on. It need not be clearly understood by them because they may be hiring people who are required for that relevant, that functioning at the time of a decline, and they may not want people who are already outdated and the company is about to close. So it's a very complex function. Okay. Environmental uncertainties also affect the manpower planning. What sort of environment are we talking about? In principles of management, we learnt about pest analysis. Outside the organization, we have got four factors which affect the functioning of the organization: political climate, social climate, environmental, economic climate, and technological climate. PEST, political, economic, social, and technology. Now, these four changes that happen outside affect our company. Our company is consisting of various resources: man, machine, materials, and money. So, any changes there is going to affect my manpower recruitment and manpower planning also. Very simple. Okay? So, manpower planning has to accommodate expected changes in political, social, economic, technological is not mentioned here. We can include that also, which affect all organizations. Appropriate revisions to recruitment and selection, training and development policies are designed. So when the climate changes, my profiles have to change. My job analysis has to change. My job description will change. My job specification will change. And when that changes, my manpower planning also changes. So manpower planning is a dynamic process. It is not static. It is not that I fix up some, I want X number of people every year. Every year you may not want X number of people. X will always be a variable. It will be more or less. And that more or less is decided by internal environment as well as external environmental changes. So now you can imagine how tough it is. It's a planning function. And all that we learnt in planning and principles of management is applicable here for the human resources as a resource. Okay? Organizations undergoing several changes due to technology have to plan for this changing environment to stay ahead of competition. I've already explained this. Next, we talk about labor market. Now, we've got two different types of things: developing countries and developed countries. In a developing country with a large population like India, we suffer from lack of educated and skilled professionals in the labor market. People are educating themselves into qualifications. But in terms of skills, I ask this question to many people. Students come to me seeking change of job after 7 or 8 years of experience. People are doing jobs and they're doing some routine operations. And after doing the routine operation, they don't develop themselves. When I develop myself, I have a skill. Now, we are talking about skills. In the labor market, do we have people who are skilled, who have got something to sell to the company which will add value to themselves and to others? So, the labor market in a developing country usually has been seen to have less skills because they are living hand to mouth. See, for example, any one of you listening to me, youngster, would start off by saying that I would like to make a career in HR. This, I get this input from many students. So when I ask this student, I ask him or her, what do you like to specialize in HR? There's a very, very strong belief in that person that he wants to become a trainer. And he says, I want to become a trainer. Fine. Now that vision is there. Now the vision, people are not able to take forward for certain reasons. Then when it comes to a placement, a very good brand, a good company comes in, they hire people. Nothing against brand, nothing against, I am just giving an example. Okay, take it as an example. I am going to drive home some phenomenon which we observe today. So your vision is gone because you are getting a good package and a good company. And our Indian society and the homes to which we belong, they are very clear. You got a good job, a good package and a good company, then the profile is gone. The person's dream or whatever he wants to become is lost. Now, when he joins his company, he doesn't take conscious efforts to learn. Good brands are giving you so much opportunities to make you learn. They offer you a good package, a C2C, and they make you learn. But very few people really they go there and develop skills. To develop skills, you can't be in a comfort zone. You have to stretch out. Large organizations give you the scope. The culture also gives the scope to stretch. But when you do not stretch, what happens? You are doing routine functions. If you do routine functions for 8 years and you come out and say that I want a job, just because I've got 8 years of experience, it doesn't work. You need skills. That's the skill we are talking about. That skill in the labor market has to be there. So people have to be very creative. Working should happen in 8 years. It's not the number of years of experience. It's what is the skills that you've developed. How many times you have pushed yourself out of the comfort zone and gone along and developed skills. That is most important. Okay? It is difficult to find the right person for the right job in the market for the same reason which I've told you. Manpower planning here has to focus on training and development of fresh recruits. That's why many of you, when you join an organization, although you have 5 years of experience, you're given a certain induction because they want to put you into the skills track. See, skills is something everybody has to focus. Skills are doable actions which add value to you and to others. Skills differentiate between X and Y. X has got years of experience of doing repetitive functions which has not made him grow. Whereas somebody else, Y, has got hardly half the number of years of experience of X, but he has developed skills. He is a future leader. They say that your repetitive work, it tells, but it is skills that sell. You keep on repeating the work, you'll say 8 years I have done this job, I have handled this profile, I have done this, I was a part of the training and development department, I was, you know, doing OD. Many people come and tell me this. Then I ask this question, what are the skills do you have which you can sell? What have you learnt? Have you stretched yourself? Have you gone beyond your comfort zone? The answer is no. So, labor market or the market where qualified, experienced people are available with skills is a very important factor. That's why this is a phenomenon we find in the developed countries. India is growing in a very rapid way. We are having excellent skills today, but it wasn't the case some years back. So now we are discussing, this is a flow chart. This is talking about the process of manpower planning. How does it happen? As I've explained to you earlier, there are two important factors in this. One is a HR demand forecast. The other one is a supply forecast. What are we doing in a forecasting? We are trying to predict the future. So the demand forecast means what will be the demand for manpower in the future? How many people do we need in the future? That's a HR demand forecast, human resources demand forecast. We also need to forecast what will be the supply at that point of time when we want people. Let's say we are planning for a manpower of 10,000 people to be employed in a company in the next year, 2013-14. Then I must make an analysis about my demand forecast will be, let's say this demand forecast is to 10,000 people at different levels. During that one full year, I'll be recruiting people. But I must also know what is my HR supply forecast. I must also do that. Now to do that, it's a skill. You need to go and get good amount of data and you must learn to sense the climate outside. The environmental factors you must be able to sense properly. And you must make a certain amount of a good forecasting judgment. And none of us can be accurate. We can be very close to the figure to which we want. Okay. Now, the flowchart very simply says there's an organizational objective. There's an HR demand forecast and an HR supply forecast. Both of them are taking you towards the organizational objective. Now, is the demand equal to supply? The answer, if it is no, then surplus or layoff. If we have got more people, we start off by having X number of employees in the company. Now, these X number of employees, we are adding Y to them. Now, when we add Y to them, now suppose the demand is less. That means the number of people whom we require is less. Then we have surplus with us, which means we may have to lay off or reduce the hours of working. On the other hand, if the supply is not there, then what do? We need to recruit and select people. We need to hire more people. So these two are very simple common sense decisions to be taken. If there is a demand is more, I may have surplus. If the supply is more, then what happens? I still have a surplus. On the other hand, if the demand is less and the supply is less, then I have two different scenarios. So four scenarios we can plot. Demand and supply, more and less, and more and less on either side. Then there are four scenarios we can get. In short, depending upon the demand forecast, the supply forecast, we will have to plan our manpower accordingly. And it's a dynamic process. I may indicate in the beginning of this financial year that I may be needing 10,000 employees in the next financial year. But 3 months, 4 months down the line, I'll come out with a new figure. It doesn't mean that I did not plan, but I'm adapting my plans to the, I'm changing my plan, altering the plan for the purpose of the present, relevant, realistic information. Okay, so this is the process of manpower planning, the backbone of what we're talking. Now, organization objectives of the HR plan are derived from the business plans defined by the top management. The top management has got business plans. This is the type of business we want to be in. These are the products we need to make. So much of quantity, so much of realization, top line and bottom line. All this is cleared. For making that thing happen, we need resources. One of them is manpower, and that is the manpower resources that we are going to be planning for. To meet these objectives, HR needs to determine number and characteristics of the employees. Organization chart is an excellent tool available to the HR. We create an organization chart in which the employees are all put in the different positions. Senior most at the top and the junior most at the bottom, and there are people in the middle. Each one has got a job profile which is coming from the job analysis which we have done. Now, having done this, we know that this business plans of ours will be effective when we have the right person for the right job. When to hire them, how to hire them, etc., etc., follows after that. HR then decides how many vacancies can be filled from within, how will union constraints be handled, how much automation can be practiced, and how continuous availability of the skilled labor can be ensured. Now, HR demand forecast is a process of estimating the number and the quality of people required in the future to meet the needs of the organization. Now, these factors for demand forecast can be internal or external to the organization. The external factors would be, I may be wanting more people because of competition, the economic climate is conducive, or it may not be conducive because of the demand may go down. It is also impacted by technological climate and the laws of the land, laws and regulations of the land. These are 4 points given. There are some more points which you can add based on your own understanding and what you see around you. On the internal side, we have got budgetary constraints. Very, very common constraint which many organizations have. They do not have resources to hire people. See, a particular job may be required to be done by two people. They may take only one person. Now, it could be the policy of the company, or it may be a genuine reason also. Now, this budgetary constraint, why does it become a budgetary constraint? Because when I hire a person, there is a carrying cost. Every month I have to keep on giving him compensation. I have to motivate him. I have to send him for training and development. It's an investment for the company of sorts. They call it cost, but basically manpower is an investment. You know, we say C2C, cost to the company. Manpower should never be a cost to the company, because it is that manpower that is actually adding bottom line and top line to the organization. So that investment could be one of the budgetary constraints. New product or services. When a new product or service is being introduced, I may have to add more manpower, I may have to retrain more manpower, retrain the existing manpower, or I may have to ask the existing manpower to go and induct fresh people, quite possibly. Organization structure. The structure itself is made in such a way that the organization planning of manpower will be impacting by the structure. For example, tall structures. In a tall structure, the number of levels are very high, 12 to 14 levels or even more. Old economy, pre-1991, we had most of the organization, practically all of them very tall structures. And that to manufacturing units. Service sectors usually have flat structures, number of levels are less. So depending upon the structural composition of the organization, the manpower planning can be easy or complex. In a flat organization, the manpower planning becomes a little more easier as compared to a tall structure. Because in the tall structure, filling up vacancies at the top level is quite a challenge. If there's a vacancy at the level of a ED, executive director, or maybe a VP, it is not a vacancy that can be filled just in a day or two or in a month or so. It takes a lot of procedural aspects to be considered. So the organization structure also impacts the demand forecast of the manpower planning function. Then the employee separation. Separation means it's a process by which employees leave the organization and go. Either they leave on their own, which is called as resignation, or we lay them off, or we retire them, or there could be a punitive measure. We have to take a disciplinary action against certain employees for something which they have not done okay. Now we come to HR supply forecast. Supply forecasting is a process by which management determines whether it will be able to procure the required number of employees and the various from the various sources. Okay, I have to know where am I going to get my people from. Is it going to be from the university campus recruitments, freshers, or do I have to go to the job market? Do I have to go to manpower consultants? Do I have to go to global markets and get people? Today, for example, IT companies are hiring global software engineers and all from different parts of the world. It's not only India. So all those things are covered in the supply forecasting. Where do I get the best quality of software engineers? Now, this is the part of the forecasting. Supply analysis is undertaken that covers a study of skills of present employees, internal source of supply, employee referrals, children of retired employees, and external sources of supply. So where do I get this from? The 3 points are given here. I explained some other points. One is study of the skill of the present employees. Now, I may be having an existing employee who has got multiple skills, or I realize that he has a potential. So what do? I put him into a skills development training, and that becomes my supply for future manpower requirements. We have multi-skilled people today, right? So you have a skill A, and the skill A, in that skill A, I find a hidden skill in you, B. So I groom you to bring out the skill B, and thereby this supply is taken care of. First point. Second point talks about internal source of supply, employee reference. The internal, this is the internal source of supply which comes from employee reference. You know somebody and that person is qualified enough to fill in a particular type of a job. So through the reference it comes. It can be children of retired employees, employees who have died in accident, employees who died prematurely under service. So such people are given opportunities, right? And the third one, they have given external source of supply, which is from outside. Okay. Now we have, this is a, all of us know about what is called as a gap analysis. Gap analysis is demand equal to supply? One simple question we need to ask. It's never equal to supply in any scenario. All the time we are battling to see what is the gap. Is the supply more or is the demand more? And wherever the gap is more, it is an endeavor. HR compares the demand and supply forecast to understand the gap, the shortage. If the demand is more than supply, okay? Now, both are equally conducive and both are not conducive in either way. Depends upon the scenario. If the company is going through a rapid growth, the company is internally driven to go for rapid growth, but the external conditions, supply is not there, then they have a challenge. Then they have to train people from inside. If the company is going through a normal business phase, the plateau, then if outside supply is stopped, then there will be a pressure on them to perform. The other side of the story, the supply is more, but the demand is less in a company for manpower. What happens? The company has to think of innovative ideas about tapping this existing supply. They may have to go for a new area of activity possibly. Different permutation and combination you can have depending upon what scenario you are into as a company internally. Process of manpower planning, further take it for the gap analysis, is demand equal to supply? Now this is the other side of the story. Now the earlier one we talked about, let me go back to that slide, is about shortage. Now we are talking about surplus. If the demand is less than the supply, if the demand is less than the supply means I got surplus people available. There are enough of people available. What do I do? Then the HR within the organization, they may have to put layoff. Now this is a scenario with an assumption that the company is saturated. But what is given here in the book and in the slide is talking about a status quo scenario. But an organization which is today creative, what it could do is looking at the scenario of supply being more than demand, they might go in for an area wherein the quality supply that's coming from outside can be hired. They might go for a diversification. They might go for a new product or a new area of activity where they may take people. If it is a status quo organization wherein they are carrying on business, they are in the plateau stage, then they may resort to layoff. VRS, lesser working hours and pay cuts. Okay. So, importance of manpower planning. What's the importance? Future manpower needs are determined through manpower planning. Jobs are getting highly specialized and intellectual. Retaining talented manpower for these jobs is essential, and this is achieved by manpower planning. And manpower planning provides foundation for HR activities like recruitment and selection, training and development, job analysis, compensation administration, performance appraisal and feedback, and employee welfare, etc. All these activities are interrelated. If you take job analysis, it is related to manpower planning. So each of them affects the other. If one is not done proper, there's a problem. That's why in HR we say, like other systems, HR systems are also systemically integrated. Systemically, not systematically. Systemically means any one system or any one process is not properly done, it affects the entire HR process. This is true and it is visible and seen in many organizations. If the manpower planning is not proper, it affects the morale of the people. If recruitment and selection is not proper, then it affects the people. So, every which way, if all of them need to be having an integration, like the human body with all its organs, if the integration of the organs are not there, we will be unhealthy. Similarly, an organization would have unhealthy HR within them if any one of this system is not operating in tandem with the other systems. Let's address and understand what could be the accurate the barriers that could come to manpower planning. What are the roadblocks? One is the inaccuracy. When I'm trying to gauge the conditions outside, when I'm making a forecast on technology, market and labor, I may not be getting the proper figures, or I may not have a proper judgment. I may not be experienced enough, skillful enough, intuitive enough to know how it is. It's possible. I could have a bias. Most of the time, operating managers are not involved in the planning. This makes plans ineffective. Successful manpower planning needs participation from HR as well as non-HR managers. In organizations, it is noticed the HR people do the planning with a very theoretical mindset, inverted commas. When I say theoretical, what I mean is the real job that is happening in the department, in the functional vertical, they know exactly what they want. If those managers are having a bias, or they are not able to articulate, or they are not involved in the manpower planning, then you know we may give people with a disconnect. You know, in an IT company, for example, we need somebody with a certain software background. And that person with software background, that particular spec sheet, we are giving it to the HR department. Now, they may go along and hire somebody else unknowingly. I'm not saying they do it. Now, when they do it unknowingly, what happens is there's a disconnect between requirements and what has been hired. So, to see that this happens, we need to have people coming together. Imbalance. Managers tend to focus on near-term requirements at the cost of long-term needs and fail to carry grooming and training of employees. Many organizations do not have a manpower planning proper, and they take a knee-jerk reaction, ad hoc basis. I need people, immediately hire. And when they hire Tom, Dick and Harry. It's a common malady in many organizations. There's a new, fresh new business that has come, so let's make the best of it, so hire people left, right and center. No plans, nothing. When you have a mindset of only business and not sustenance, and when your culture is such that it is only talking about top line, bottom line all the time, then this problem can take place, imbalance can take place. Now, here we are talking about related reading. We are coming to almost the end of the session, and forecasting manpower requirements, job market uncertainties and thrust on cost cutting mandate that manpower supply and demand forecasts are planned by HR managers as accurately as possible. I wouldn't like to point out only at HR managers. It's not HR people alone who need to do this. Manpower planning is a collective activity. It's a strategic activity. Everybody from the top management, the concerned departments, the HR people form the facilitators. They are the people who have to ensure that, you know, they have understood the requirements properly. And that's a very tough call. See, in one department, for example, they wouldn't mind waiting for HOD to get hired, because the department's functioning may not be that very crucial. Whereas in another department, even hiring an executive, they would like to have it on a urgency basis. Now, this is understood by the HR people only if they know the business cycles and the various functions of the various departments. It's so important. So, I would always say that the HR people have to first get oriented into how these various business cycles happen. In fact, I would go to the extent of even stretching it to say that let these people go and work in these departments for one month or some time so that they get familiar into the climate of how they work. Now, once that is clear, then this becomes easier. HR should be able to fill in vacancies from ready pool of candidates without much loss of time and efforts. When an HR person is specialized to know various aspects of the business, it becomes easier. There are a number of engineering companies, very large names, which I don't want to mention here. They have a system in which the HR department has got people who have come from the different functional departments. A production engineer yesterday, he has put in about say 10 to 15 years experience, he sits in the HR department. Now, we find him to be much more effective in doing his HR job. So, if you have people from the line function area and they come into HR, they are seen to have a broader perspective towards various HR processes, including manpower planning. In the current competitive scenario, robust, good talent, very healthy talent, forecasting provides an edge over competition. I must be able to say who's the right person I need to pick up today for tomorrow. Who's the right person I need to pick up today for tomorrow. So once I get that hang of it, that can happen only when I'm a part of the business cycle, not an auxiliary support department. If I'm just an auxiliary support department, I may not be able to see the full picture and I won't be able to get the forecasting picture in front of me. This is one pitfall that happens in organizations. Forecasting manpower requirements, supply and demand forecast ensure, when I do supply and demand forecast, it ensures these following things. Already explained, organization is rightly structured, it is efficient and productive, no overlap of roles, complete role clarity, recruitment of quality talent at optimal cost and lead time. Well in advance, we conduct all the processes of interviewing, so that we are expecting a person, let us say, to retire or resign on a date X. So before X arrives, we already have the new inductee coming in. He joins in. He gets little familiar with the person who's leaving. He puts him into a sort of a comfort zone, and then the X leaves. So this sort of a thing is an excellent case of how a manpower planning can happen. It should be so smooth that it's like passing on the baton. One person is running, he passes on the baton, the other person takes over the baton and goes further. Supply and demand forecasts are driven by annual business plans and should be the responsibility of the business, functional head and HR. Already explained, this is a recap. KRAs of each role must be established in advance, and next, the cost of the organization structure that will deliver the desired result on investment must be reckoned. Cost is very important. There's a cost of hiring, there's a cost of creating a manpower plan also. So that cost should be counterweighed with what we are getting in terms of benefit. That cost is involving so many things: executive time, hiring some manpower consultants, hiring some agencies for coming out of the figures. Lots of activities are there, so that could be cost which is incurred in this. Forecast should address meant to volume revenue targets and geographical distribution points. Okay, it should address the revenue target and geographical distribution point. I want to know how much of manpower will be required for adding what type of a revenue or cost saving to the company, and this has to be properly distributed. This is a global, we're talking about a global phenomenon. Okay. The greatest challenge in forecasting are resistance by people, business uncertainty, and lack of clear vision. People don't resort to forecasting because they feel that it is not worth it. Many of them do not have the skills, or they are so much into a rapid work that they feel that, we'll see when the time comes. Now, nothing can be more damaging than this, because forecasting has to really, it'll tell you where exactly you want to go. Even if you don't reach that place, at least you're on the right course. Too high and unachievable forecasts render the process meaningless. If I have a target, if I make a forecast that, say, 5 years from now, my company is going to become double in terms of turnover and manpower, and I see that the next 2-3 years everything is going from bad to worse, that could become too very unrealistic, and it is unachievable target. I have to be flexible. We have learnt in planning that planning needs to be flexible, right? HR must revisit and review forecasts from time to time. Once I give a forecast, it is not constant. I need to review. When I review, one must not get a feeling that, you know, I don't have a mind of my own, that I am not very clear about myself. See, there is a human bravado. People feel that once I say something, I'll stick on to it. That is the most foolish thing to do in a forecasting. Because it is not about my point of view, it is about what the organization needs. It's about what we need to handle the issue. So I may quote some figures. Some new information comes to me tomorrow. So I may have to change the figures. Nothing wrong in that. And when I change the figures, I haven't got a justification behind that. The right and wrong part of it is not the issue. The issue is about how well I am organized to bounce back into dynamism instead of remaining static. Clearly forecasting, both an art and science, is a continuous and a joint exercise, already explained. Now finally, the summary. HRM is a process where people and organizations are brought together so that the goals of each are met. Manpower or human resources planning is a process of forecasting organizations' future demands for and supply of the right type of people on right number. Manpower planning is influenced by factors such as type and strategy of organization, growth cycle of an organization, environmental uncertainties, and labor market. HR planning involves the following steps: organization objectives, demand forecast, supply forecast, surplus or shortage, and how to make use of it. It is important as it determines future manpower needs. It's a foundation of other HR functions and is useful in creating highly talented manpower. With this, friends, I wish you good luck. Thank you very much.